D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, will join us at 5 o'clock. Wes in Hermitage on our text line says, if I win the Music City Bowl tickets, can I swap them for the Moment of Peace Day Spa gift card? My girlfriend is absolutely driving me crazy, and I really need a Moment of Peace this season. That sounds like a you problem, Wes. And I don't think these tickets are transferable. But you will have
just like anything else, you can like network within our listening base. And
yes.
Exactly, yeah.
Orchestrate a trade.
Yes.
A barter.
There you go.
You could do that.
There's some Vol fans out there I think would talk to you.
You can win a pair of Music City Bowl tickets at 4:40. So in 40 minutes, I will give you the cue to call with the trivia question. And I think it's a pretty good trivia question, if I do say so myself.
It was pretty good.
I was surprised when I saw this little nugget as I was researching for this trivia question. So at 4:40, I will give you the cue to call for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Music City Bowl. By the way, Scott Ramsey will join the program tomorrow at 3:40. He knows a thing or two about the Music City Bowl. I bet he knows the answer to my trivia question, but we'll get to that. So big news in the NFL this week. The Miami Dolphins are more or less done with Tua Tagovailoa. He's been benched. Quinn Ewers will be starting at quarterback for the Miami Dolphins on Sunday. It was between Quinn Ewers and Zach Wilson. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. Not really a Sophie's Choice type of situation when it comes to those two. But Quinn Ewers will be starting at quarterback for the Dolphins. And I was thinking about if there were any lessons that the Titans can learn from how the Dolphins handled Tua Tagovailoa. And I thought Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated wrote a column that hit on something that I think we should discuss. And the summary of Orr's column is this. Miami's brain trust desperately needed to legitimize the selection and extension of their franchise quarterback and didn't adequately prepare for his failure by bringing in someone who can regularly challenge Tua. Orr mentions in the article, since the Dolphins drafted Tua, they have drafted two quarterbacks, both of whom were drafted in the 7th round, Skylar Thompson and Quinn Ewers. So it got me thinking about the Titans and Cam Ward, because Cam Ward's season to date has been a major disappointment, I think it's fair to say. And I'm wondering if the problem with the Dolphins and Tua is it appears that the Dolphins waited too long to find a potential plan B. They were so invested in making Tua Tagovailoa work that they may have hamstrung themselves. The dead cap charge, if they want to get rid of Tua, is like nearly $100 million or something like that. So we've talked about this, and I know this is a touchy subject. I think it's too early to call Cam Ward a failure. But, Willie, would it be in their best interest to avoid a Tua-like situation by trying to find a quarterback who they can bring in as a fail-safe in case Cam Ward isn't the guy?
Tricky subject. I think it's a different stage of his career, Cam Ward, than Tua. And Tua is such a unique case because of his career track, the concussions, and also the doubling down to the big contract, even with the knowledge of his concussion situation. When a guy is that much of an injury risk, I think that's why I think they have made a mistake of not having a better backup ready to go. So Cam's situation, at least at this point in his career, is different. The right backup is really important. And D-Mace, you remember the series of guys that were behind Steve McNair. And there was nobody better than Neil O'Donnell. I don't even know how they fit him under the salary cap. Like looking back on it, he was so good to be available as a backup. He had been a starter. It was perfect timing to have him. And as it turned out, he was so much needed. So it's not only a good backup quarterback, but the right guy. Like, Neil O'Donnell filled out all of those traits that you want in a backup. Like, he's a team guy. He was going to help Steve McNair. He understood his role, but he was ready to win.
Yeah, I think this organization, on two separate times, made some really, really good decisions. Obviously, you talk about Neil O'Donnell coming in and being Steve's backup, knowing that, you know, how much of a beating Steve took, that he knew he was going to eventually have to play. And when he did, he came in and did a wonderful job. But he never complained. He did his job. He helped Steve out. He helped us out as wide receivers. It's always good to have a guy like Neil on your team, and he's not a starter. What he does is help out the younger guys and help develop them in a sense. And he helped develop me as a player. And then with Ryan Tannehill, you know, they brought Ryan Tannehill as, you know, Ryan came in. He knew the situation. Didn't fuss, didn't do anything. He came in and said the right things, but when his opportunity came, he made the best of it, and that allowed him to be the starting quarterback, sign another contract. But they were not brought in here to compete with Steve and Marcus. They were brought in here as insurances, or if in case they get hurt or something like that. And it worked out in both situations. More recently, Ryan Tannehill. This Miami situation is totally different from anything that the Titans are dealing with right now from Cam Ward. This is not necessarily about production, in a sense. I know his year hasn't been good this year. He doesn't have his top receiver in Tyreek Hill. They've had injuries. They've traded people. But he still has to play better. But this hadn't been his season. The year prior to that, he only played 13 games. The year prior to that, he played 13 games. This is a good – he's a good quarterback. This, I don't think – it's making me feel as if – and I heard this on ESPN on one of the shows, and I think it was Dan Orlovsky that said it. This may not be about production alone. This, more than anything, I think, is about his health, where he was prior to the injury, and how he's been since those headaches, since those concussions. He hasn't been the same quarterback since those concussions. He hasn't. And I think now Miami really sees it. And now they're giving Quinn Ewers a shot. They don't have – if they were still in playoff contention, Tua would be the quarterback. He would be. You would be a fool to remove him. But because they're not, and it's like, man, I don't – we're starting to see some things that we may not want to tell people, because we may want to trade him. So we're going to bench him, make sure he doesn't get hurt. We're going to bench him and try to trade him later if they can. But Cam's is totally different. So I don't know how much they can take away from what Miami's doing. Like Willie said, Cam's at a different point in his career. He's at the beginning. Tua's already been in the league, what, this is his sixth year? And Tua was once a MVP finalist. He was on a road to be an MVP player. And because of those concussions, he doesn't look like the same player. And I think Miami recognized that.
And that is one thing about Cam Ward's season that we should probably at least mention, is that, and that was one of our questions going into the season, is would he be able to hold up? Look, his numbers are ugly. A lot of weeks, they're not what you hope for. But he goes out there and takes the ball. He has gone to the post every time, knock on wood, right? He's shown toughness to be able to keep going out there. He hasn't been battered. And that, I think that's a positive thing.
Connor Orr mentions, and you're right, the situations are different. Mm-hmm. Tua's been in the league for several years. He signed a gigantic contract. Cam Ward is in the midst of his rookie season. Connor Orr points out, for example, that the Eagles took Jalen Hurts in the second round a year after signing Carson Wentz. He mentions the Packers have drafted two quarterbacks since taking Jordan Love, and, of course, they brought in Malik Willis. So his conclusion is the Dolphins' problem was, quote, not making a desperate effort to secure cost-controlled talent with upside behind Tagovailoa in the event that he failed. A practice that is so fundamentally sound and proven in the NFL that it's practiced by most successful teams. There are structures that promote winning above all else and structures that at some point break down to the point where winning a certain way and winning with a certain player takes priority.
Okay, what were name the two teams?
I mentioned the Eagles drafting Jalen Hurts.
And why did they draft Jalen Hurts? Because their quarterback was injury prone.
Okay.
Yeah. And now, he was already, point, yeah. If I remember correctly, I thought Wentz had started to slip.
Exactly. Now, and the other quarterback was?
Jordan Love with the Packers.
He had dealt with an injury too. So you're talking about two situations. Connor Orr's talking about two situations where they're not apples to apples. But I understand the fact of, I'm not saying you shouldn't have somebody there that can, if he gets hurt, if he's not playing, whatever the case may be, they can come in and win you some football games.
No doubt.
But that's every team across the league. That's the successful teams and the non-successful teams. You want to have a backup that can come in and get the job done. If your starter is hurt, may need to go out of play, or just he's not performing well. So that is more so a NFL problem. I don't think it's
right.
One particular team.
But well, are you saying, Adam, that they need to have somebody pushing Cam Ward or just a better backup? Then, because
I think they need a better backup.
How do we get a little bit of both?
Brandon Allen hasn't even gotten into a game. Like, there's nothing to complain about with him because he's never played.
Can it be a little bit of both?
That's to Ward's credit that he's been able to take the beating and stay out there.
I think my concern when you relate Cam Ward to what's happening in Miami with Tua is you don't want the Titans to be so dedicated to trying to make Cam Ward work that they box themselves in the way that the Dolphins have seemingly boxed themselves in with Tua. So I think it's a little bit of both. I would like the Titans to have a better backup quarterback. I would like them to have a younger player, a younger-ish quarterback who can theoretically push Cam.
Okay. I don't want a younger quarterback.
Okay.
I don't
want a younger quarterback. I've got a guy for you.
Who's that?
Will Levis.
Yeah, you don't want to say it. I don't need a younger quarterback.
Honestly, you going to find somebody better?
Oh, man.
Like, seriously.
Okay, again.
Because I have been saying I do think they should keep him around, even if it's just to up his stock and then get more for him eventually. Because it's hard to find good quarterbacks. We know. And as flawed as Will Levis is, there's going to be a brand new coaching staff next year. Mm-hmm. That might as well be a new team for Will Levis. So I think that's an intriguing question.
Yeah, again.
He's not going to be named the starter over Cam Ward, but if you're grooming Will Levis and saying, hey, let's recalibrate everything, let's see if we can make Will Levis a good backup in the league.
Well, whoever they bring in as head coach, you got to decide whether they want Will Levis on the team. The next head coach may say, hey,
give
listen,
me a better option.
You know,
you want to bring Brandon Allen back?
I would prefer not to bring Brandon Allen back. Okay.
What they need as a backup.
Go to the frontier with the oxen? Who are you going to bring back?
What they need as a backup is a guy like Hasselbeck. You bring in a guy like, I'm not saying you bring, I know Hasselbeck wouldn't mind. Talking about Matt. I am talking about Matt.
Yeah.
A guy like Matt.
Get Tim back in there.
You can get Tim too. But like Matt, no,
Philip Rivers can do it, so can Tim.
Matt Hasselbeck would have been right in the mold of a Neil O'Donnell,
exactly.
Right? Winning quarterback for a long time.
A guy like that.
A little older. That
you bring a guy like that into a system with a young quarterback, and that tends to, I think you can get what you want, Adam. The push from that backup quarterback, but also you get he's able to teach him and able to sort of help out with whatever development that goes on. But if he gets hurt or he may not be getting the job done, you can go to that guy, that backup guy that has already won games for you, that understands this league, that understands how to win. He can come in and at least get the ship steered in the right way.
So Derek does not like my Will Levis idea.
One text.
Will Levis to go somewhere and compete for a starting job.
Well,
I do.
One texter says, Willie is hurting everyone listening, but he's not wrong. But another texter brings up a good point, a good example of this. One texter says, look at the 49ers with Mac Jones. He made people question Shanahan if they made a good choice extending Purdy, and now Jones is off-season trade bait. Mac Jones.
It's a good reclamation project.
Right. Is there a quarterback out there? Maybe it is Mac Jones. Mac Jones needs to be traded. He's not a pending free agent. But is there a quarterback in that Mac Jones mold who could come to Tennessee, backup Cam Ward and make you feel a little bit better.
Tua? If they cast him aside. They're always going to be a couple guys.
I wouldn't touch
Tua. Tua is in a unique class, right? That's probably a little extreme. But the next Mac Jones, Daniel Jones, like every year there's a couple.
I don't know who that is off the top of my head.
Sam Darnold.
Sure you will. There's
Baker
a
Mayfield was on that scrap heap for a while.
That wants
would it, would it make you feel more confident about things with the Titans if they brought in that type of Mac Jones, Daniel Jones, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold as quarterback, as Cam Ward's backup in case things don't go well?
Do we think Justin Fields will be back out there for the taking after the disaster with the Jets?
I think he will. But no, whether it's a...
Jameis Winston will probably be out there.
I would love Jameis Winston to be back here.
I'm thinking somebody a little bit younger.
It doesn't have to be somebody that's a little bit younger. I don't need... If they went out and got somebody 23, 24, okay. I want somebody that has played games, that have been through this league, that understands this league. Y'all just want to throw people in there that may... They may push him, they may not. I want a guy that, even if he does push him and don't win the job, he's capable of coming in and getting the job done.
Phillip Rivers needs
to get him the job done. So I don't want a young guy. I don't. Just like I don't want a college coach. Just like I don't want a guy that hadn't sort of built the team. I'm talking about a guy that has proven he could take a team and build them up. You don't necessarily have to win a Super Bowl, but you take a team that, and can build them up into a winning team like Vrabel did with this team.
Let's go to Trey on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hunter.com. Trey, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey, good. Trey.
Hey, I just want to say, hey, I was listening about Tua getting bent, and I think that's good because the simple fact that, you know what I'm saying, he's been in the league 6 years. For one, when he got drafted, he had a broke hip. What kind of man would a broke hip do out there on the field, you know?
He threw for 4,600 yards 1 year and 29 touchdowns and was an MVP candidate.
They had that one year where they were really good.
He had one or two decent years. But the thing of it is, though, you know, they got to move on from him. If he's not getting them to where they need to be, of course the young man needs to go in there and prove himself, right? You know what I'm saying? So I feel like, you know what I'm saying, he gave up his job. You know, it's sad that he had concussion, but you know what that leads to. But I just wish him the best, you know. But, you know, get a young man a try. You know, maybe somebody will pick him up, but he don't need to come here. I love y'all. Have a good night.
Thank you, Trey.
Thanks, Trey. 615-737-1025. Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated writes about Tua Tagovailoa in Miami, that Miami's brain trust desperately needed to legitimize the selection and extension of their franchise quarterback and didn't adequately prepare for his failure. Should the Titans heed that advice when it comes to Cam Ward?
It was such a groove that they were in for a while. We can't forget that, right?
That
but it
does,
just doesn't look the same now. It doesn't look like the same team, even though it's the same guys.
615-737-1025. We will take your thoughts on that. Again, 615-737-1025. This Sunday, the NFL Game of the Week, Steelers versus Lions at 325. On 94.9 The Fan, the NFL Game of the Week is presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and Massaro in 12 South.
No. Not where I am in the process right now. And I'll get to all the late tape with Mendoza. He would be the only one to me that would be in that discussion. But I've seen Cam Ward play live this year. And, you know, I was there for Jackson Dart's first start with the Giants. And now Jackson Dart's got to protect himself a little bit better and not make this concussion thing more than it should be here. He's got to do a better job there. But those guys, talent-wise, I think they're more talented. They're more physically gifted than any of the quarterbacks that I've seen in this class. I like Mendoza. I think he's clearly the best one that I've seen so far as I've gone through it. But it wouldn't be enough for me that I was going to punt on either one of those guys.
That was Daniel Jeremiah on Kevin Clark's podcast. Kevin Clark asked Jeremiah, are there any quarterbacks in the upcoming class who could make the Titans and Giants pull a Josh Rosen? Remember, the Cardinals drafted Josh Rosen very high in the draft.
He's still out there.
Is he?
Well, I'm sure he's out there.
I think he retired.
He has a job at a I think a financial job. I think. Now?
I think he officially retired.
If you called him, he could be available.
He is younger than Phillip Rivers.
That kid didn't want to play football.
But Josh Rosen, drafted high by the Cardinals, the following year they have the number one pick. They draft Kyler Murray. So Kevin Clark asked Daniel Jeremiah, who knows a thing or two about the NFL draft, if there are any quarterbacks in this upcoming class that could convince the Titans or Giants to do the same thing. He said no.
So but what do we know, D-Mace? Mm-hmm. Today's date is what, December 18th? Things change a lot between December 18th and March 15th and even sometimes April 15th.
There must be an alternative world if something like that happens. I can't see that.
But the question is, who will rise up?
Yeah, like that's who
some quarterback always gets hot and everybody loves him and they have not played a football game. It's all workouts and interviews and perception, media driven. Like, it becomes a thing.
So we're discussing Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins. Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated wrote a column about Tua's demise and Miami's part in it. And part of his argument was, quote, the lack of an in-house option that could regularly challenge Tagovailoa was the result of a general manager desperately needing to legitimize the selection. And part of me thought, you don't want the Titans to go down that same road. You don't want the Titans to try to legitimize the selection of Cam Ward and make mistakes that ultimately put the Titans in a similar situation as the Dolphins. So we did get some texters with some suggestions. One texter mentioned Mac Jones. Mac Jones, he went to the Kyle Shanahan Reclamation School, and he looked pretty good filling in for Brock Purdy. He is not a free agent, if I am not mistaken. He would have to be traded for. Mac Jones is out there. Dustin mentioned on multiple occasions Gardner Minshew, who, by the way, is starting for the Kansas City Chiefs against the Titans on Sunday. He's 4-2 all time against the Tennessee Titans. But then during the break, a random name popped into my head. Anthony Richardson. I'm not saying for the Titans, but could Anthony Richardson be the next Daniel Jones, Josh Darnold, Sam Darnold, so on and so
right,
forth.
Baker Mayfield, Baker, those guys.
The reclamation. So,
right.
First of all, D-Mace, do you think the Colts will be done with him? Because they could do the Levis thing and just hang on to him.
No, I don't think they'd be done with him because of what happened to Daniel Jones. So I don't think Indianapolis would be done with him. Listen, did they? They made a mistake by drafting him that high, I think. Because when you draft him that high, you got to play him right away. Or you got to play him as soon as possible. So I think that was the mistake, them drafting him that high. If he was still, but he wasn't going to be there had they not drafted him. But I don't think they're out on Richardson. I think, you know, they're going to give him another shot because he was going to play again, but then he ended up having that freak accident during warmups. So it wasn't like, you know, Indianapolis came in and said, we're done with Anthony Richardson. He's not ever playing. No, they wanted him to develop more, but they had a team ready to win, so they couldn't wait on him to develop. So they go out and get a Daniel Jones that has proven he can win somewhat or play in this league. But it wasn't, I don't think they were out on him because I think he was supposed to, he was a backup, was he supposed to play or something, but he ended up having that injury during warmups before the game. So that put him out. It wasn't because they were, you know, done with him. It was because of the injury. So I don't think Indianapolis is getting, unless you offer them something they can't refuse, they're going to keep him and develop him as much as they can.
A lot of people on the text line like Willie's idea about Will Levis. I'm just saying. Wes in Clarksville says, I think Levis would be better as a reboot. So, Willie, your idea isn't totally out of left field.
Remember what I'm saying. I'm not saying that he would be the starter. I'm saying that you're trying to rework your expectation level. You've got a new staff coming in. You're going to have a new offense, fresh start, which is what he needs, right? This is part of the reasons, Derek, that you were ready to cast him off, right?
You need a new start.
But I think when we look at how hard it is to find the right backup, I would give it a year. He's cheap. He's not going to hurt your salary cap. You're not going to be investing much. And I think if your expectation is, can he become a serviceable, solid backup with some tools, at least for the next stage of his career? You know, there are guys that are backups for a long time, and all of a sudden, like Rich Gannon, you become a really good starter when you're like 30, because it just takes you a while to get the chance, and you learn the game, and then all of a sudden it hits. All the dots start connecting for you. With where I think the Titans are going to be next year, I don't think they're going to be in a position to be a Patriots or anything, making a big jump. I just really would be surprised with where their roster is. When I was looking at all the guys, like I gave you guys a list of players, and I said, are these guys back next year? Because the it's a list that's not an impressive list.
Yes.
But it's like, well, if you're going to cast these guys out of here, get these guys out of here, then you got to replace all of those guys. You're not going to do it all with rookies. You got to go get other free agents. Mm-hmm. You have to overpay for those guys. So I just think it's going to take another year or two. So why not have Levis be just one of your projects, one of several projects for next year?
One texter says, imagine Levis getting a year or two with Shanahan or McVay. Can the Titans just loan Levis to Kyle Shanahan? Hey, we're not trading him to you, but can you keep an eye on him for a year? And we'll come back and grab him when you're done. But there are some interesting suggestions on our text line. I've seen Tyrod Taylor, who's pushing 40. I've seen Geno Smith, who I think is in his mid-30s. Cooper Rush was suggested. You love Jameis Winston, mm-hmm. Derek Mason. Yeah. You would choose Jameis Winston.
I feel like D-Mace has somewhere a fan club.
Yeah, man. Listen, that guy, he's your prototypical backup quarterback. But he brings more than – he brings that other stuff that I think a young quarterback needs, or a locker room that's changing needs. He has that energy. He has that positive energy. He's looking to how can we get better? That's why I want Jameis, because just his presence, I think. He's gotten a bad rap from long ago, and obviously, you know, the 33-30 don't look too good when you throw 33 touchdowns and 30 interceptions, but he did throw for 5,000 yards. I can't say that. But I just like the energy, and there hasn't been a place, at least that I've known, that he hasn't been, that they haven't raved about his just leadership on a team. So for that alone, and he would push Cam, I think.
Here's my overall point on this. I think the Titans should try to be more proactive about this than the Dolphins were with Tua. And again, as you both mentioned, different situations. Cam's just starting his career. Tua's been in the league for several years. He dealt with major head injuries. But as it was mentioned in the article by Connor Orr, the only quarterbacks that the Dolphins have drafted since taking Tua were both taken in the 7th round, Skylar Thompson and Quinn Ewers. What I take away from this is maybe the Titans need to be proactive just to have a backup plan in place in case things don't go well with Ward, and that the Titans don't do what the Dolphins did, which is, to borrow the phrase from Connor Orr, try to legitimize the selection by ignoring some warning signs perhaps. And now it seems to be too late, and now who the hell knows what the Dolphins are going to do at quarterback. So I'm just wondering if the Titans should be more proactive than the Dolphins were with their high round draft pick.
I mean, you're always looking to better your team at every position, even at the quarterback position. You're looking to, you know, if you have a starter, you're looking to bring in somebody that's going to continue to, you know, push that guy. But if that guy gets injured, he can come in and win a few games. Every coach is looking to add competition because competition makes your team better. So I'm not saying that they don't bring in someone that can, you know, push Cam or whatnot. I want this team to get better. And if it's bringing in a veteran backup, a guy that's old enough but young enough, played enough games but not in that 35, 36, 34 range, even though that's still young, I think it would benefit the team. I think it would benefit the quarterback. The team, in either way, it's either you got a guy that's helping the young quarterback, a guy that if the quarterback gets injured, he can come in and win you some games, or if it's not working out, You can do what Miami's doing, or you can do what Indianapolis did, bench him for a while and let the other guy come in and try to right the ship. So, or Cam can just use it as a, yes, he's pushing me, but I'm going to learn from this guy as well. So, again, to me, either scenario works. I'm not saying don't bring in somebody that's going to push him and whatnot to allow him to be a better player. But if y'all, this situation one isn't like the Dolphins, and if y'all are bringing in someone to take his job, you might as well just draft somebody, take the first pick in this year's draft, and take Mendoza.
But let's look.
If Willie
is fond of saying, the Miami Dolphins are about to enter the wilderness, the quarterback wilderness, the Oregon Trail, and they're dying of dysentery, and all of their oxen have drowned in the river because their only choices for quarterbacks at the moment are Quinn Ewers, a seventh-round rookie, and, Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson, a reclamation project. Hey, add him to the list of guys who will probably be out there in the offseason if you want him.
But Miami has put themselves in a situation where, listen,
you're trying to avoid the situation that Miami has put itself in.
No. What I'm saying is this, from Miami's standpoint. Yes, they're in this situation. Yes, maybe they should have gotten a backup. I don't know who their backup quarterbacks outside of Quinn Ewers have been since Tua's been there.
Well, Skylar Thompson.
Okay, Skylar Thompson. So if you want
Ryan Fitzpatrick was his initial backup. Well, actually, I believe, did Fitzpatrick start, then Tua came in, and then he was benched, and then Fitzpatrick came back in? But I can't remember.
I don't know. I don't.
It's been a few years.
Yeah, I don't know if I
think off. There's been a lot of years where Fitzpatrick has been in, then out, been back in, somewhere else.
That is true.
He's parlayed into,
It's hard to remember year by year. Yeah.
So he's been in the league a long time.
But, yes, but please continue.
But either way, the Titans situation and the Dolphins situation are a little bit different. Again, yes, I would like for them to bring in someone better than the guy that they had now. Even when they brought him in, I'm like, he's just basically, he's not going to put up a battle. He's not. He's just there just to be there. And maybe that was the wrong thing for the Titans to do. They should have, if they knew they were going to start Cam, which I think in their mind they knew it, they should have brought in someone that can like really push the young man. Yeah, you ain't going to, but push him. And Brandon, he wasn't pushing Cam. He just wasn't.
615-737-1025. We will take your thoughts on the Titans quarterback situation, Cam Ward, etc. All right, it is time to give away our next pair of Music City Bowl tickets. And I've got what I like to think is a doozy of a trivia question for you. Once you hear the trivia question, if you know the answer, call 615-737-1025. The first person with the correct answer to David Janes will win the tickets. Okay. Imagine my surprise as I was doing research today to find out that the Music City Bowl is part of an all-time bowl record, not just for the Music City Bowl, all the bowls. Auburn holds the record for the most points scored by a team in the first half of a bowl game. How many points did Auburn score against Purdue in the first half of the 2018 Music City Bowl?
I was there.
615-737-1025. How many points did Auburn score against Purdue in the first half of the 2018 Music City Bowl? Because it is the record of all the bowls for the most points scored by a team in the first half of a bowl game. If you know the answer,
I'm going to give
you
a hint. A lot.
That is true. 615-737-1025. The first person to call David Janes with the correct answer wins the tickets. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. 94.9 The Fan is your home for Vanderbilt women's basketball. Tonight, the Commodores go up against Albany at Memorial Gym at 6:30 p.m. Pre-game begins at 6:15. Congratulations to Blake for winning the next pair of Music City Bowl tickets. I almost said college football playoff tickets. That would be amazing. But no, Blake wins a pair of Music City Bowl tickets. The question was, Auburn holds the record for the most points scored by a team in the first half of a bowl game. How many points did Auburn score against Purdue in the first half of the 2018 Music City Bowl? The answer, 56. 56.
I was there. I guessed 40, and I thought I might have been a little, I knew it was a lot. 56 in the first half.
It was 56-7 at halftime.
If I was the coach, I'd put Antonio Brown. I just took off my shirt and walked off. I just left. Like, all right, y'all don't want to play? Take off my shirt and left.
Jared Stidham. Man. Jared Stidham, 15 for 21 for 373 yards and 5 touchdowns for Auburn. Darius Slayton, 3 receptions for 160 yards and 3 touchdowns. For Auburn, Malik Willis threw a pass for the Auburn Tigers in that bowl game. I forgot Malik Willis played for Auburn. I didn't even know that, actually.
Well,
so congratulations to Blake. 56 points scored by Auburn in the first half of the 2018 Music City Bowl. We do have one more pair of tickets to give away. We will do so tomorrow. So if you've missed out all week, you've got one more chance tomorrow. I'll come up with another trivia question, and we will give away one more pair of tickets before the holiday. Before we get to Elliott Freeman, indulge me here for a moment, guys.
Go ahead.
Look, you know me. I love tankathon.com. On Google, it says you visit often, maybe too often. And it makes me sad to look at tankathon.com right now and see that the Titans have the 3rd pick in the NFL draft behind the Giants and the Raiders. And I think it's going to be difficult for the Titans to get back up there to number one. So I've been starting to think about players who the Titans could draft with the number 3 pick, because I don't know what kind of trade offer you're going to get for the number 3 pick, if it's going to be worth trading down at number 3. And then it randomly came to me earlier this week, and I want you guys to tell me if I am completely off my rocker. I'm not saying exactly this is what the Titans should do if they have the number 3 pick and draft at number 3, but I'm wondering about it. Jeremiah Love. Do you think the Titans would be cuckoo drafting Jeremiah Love, the running back from Notre Dame, with the number 3 pick in the NFL draft?
Yes.
Derek?
No, I don't think they would.
No.
Third pick?
Again.
There have been 7 running backs.
And that's what I was about
there
to
have
say.
Been seven,
in the 1970s.
Running backs drafted with a top 10 pick since 2015.
Okay. That's different than top
Willie.
Three. Top 3.
Top. Name the guys.
Okay. Ashton Jeanty, number 6 in 2025. Mm-hmm. Bijan Robinson, number 8 in 2023. Saquon Barkley, number 2 in 2018. Leonard Fournette, number 4 in 2017. Christian McCaffrey, number 8 in 2017. Ezekiel Elliott, number 4 in 2016. Todd Gurley, number 10 in 2015.
And it worked out for all of those teams.
Well, I don't know about all of them.
No, the production was there with all of those
Even
guys.
Leonard Fournette?
Yes, Leonard Fournette was productive.
I don't remember much about his time in Jacksonville.
Leonard Fournette was productive in this league. Was he a great back? No, he was productive. A Super Bowl winning running back, but he was a productive back in this league.
I don't dispute that.
In today's game, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't dispute what you're saying. You continue, but I just think that the real point is you can find a really good running back without using that pick. I would say the same thing about why you don't pick the first overall pick, why you trade down. It's the same principle.
We've seen the Titans running the ball lately. It's looked pretty good. As Derek knows full well, the identity of the Tennessee Titans for a long time has been running the football. Jeremiah Love, 21 all-purpose touchdowns in 2025, 1,372 rushing yards, 18 rushing touchdowns, averaged nearly 7 yards a carry.
And this guy split time with the other back. This could have easily been a close to a 2,000-yard back. And many consider him the best player in the draft, Jeremiah Love. I don't think they couldn't go wrong with drafting a talent like that, because the Giants didn't go wrong with drafting Saquon Barkley. Carolina didn't go wrong with drafting McCaffrey, so forth and so on.
But, okay, let's take Fournette. Fournette is a great example. Uh-huh. I think it's fair to say, like, when he played, he was pretty good.
Yes.
But he was never great, mm-hmm. And he was the 4th pick. And you could list 24 other running backs mm-hmm. that had just as good a production as Leonard Fournette with the 4th pick.
But that wasn't
that were picked in the 4th round, the 5th round, the 3rd round. You can get a running back in there.
But when you have a running back that people deem special, which they think Jeremiah Love is special,
well, and there's
then
no question, Fournette was supposed to be special,
but he wasn't,
and he wasn't ever that in the
but
pros.
He wasn't special like these guys. When you talk about Saquon and now these are dual, like true dual threat, or McCaffrey, dual threat backs. These are backs that NFL teams are looking for. Now, Leonard Fournette was what, 10 years ago almost?
2017 was his first year.
So almost 10 years
ago. He's only 30 years old now.
Yeah, it seems old.
And he's been out of the league for a couple years.
But I think the league has changed since he got drafted. Now they're going to backs more like a Jeremiah Love or a Saquon Barkley. Guys that can run between the tackles, guys that you can split out. You look at Jamar Gibbs, another guy that was drafted in the first round. If you want to take that third pick, move out of it, move down an eight pick, I would draft Love. But if you feel Love is the guy, and there are a bunch of people that believes he's the best player, like just pure best player in the draft.
That would give me pause. If you really think he is the best overall pro prospect, I consider it, but I still, my philosophy is do not
take a
running back that high.
You need game changers, Willie.
Yes, they do. But there's not a receiver in there?
No. What did I tell you?
Edge rusher?
Hold on. What did I tell you when you asked me that question? Who else would I have drafted at 3?
Carnell Tate.
Thank you. If it's me, I'm taking Tate because I need a receiver. But I wouldn't begrudge the Titans if they took Love because I think he would be an impact player as well.
One texter says, "Dear dummy, the Giants and Raiders play. First of all, rude. Second of all, I know." Wes in Hermitage says, "Maybe I'm stupid, but how are the Raiders picking ahead of us if we have the same record and they won the head-to-head? Am I missing something?"
Yes.
The tiebreaker for draft order is opponent strength of schedule. The Titans have played a harder schedule than the Las Vegas Raiders and New York Giants at the moment.
So it works in reverse.
Yes.
Like the weaker schedule benefits because you're like, oh, you play a bad schedule and you still lost. Right. So we're gonna give you the first pick.
Yes.
You need the first pick.
The head-to-head doesn't come into play unless there are like four or five other tiebreakers. Yes.
Okay, so here is me, right, in the tankathon. The Predators will fly a charter plane, and on a Sunday, if they can get it, if we fly on a Sunday, they will have the games available. Slight problem. It's like a New York-based plane. You get whatever they're showing in New York. So who do we get every time we get on there? The Giants and the Jets. Scintillating football for your ride. Like, can't get any other game. It's the So I find myself going, let's go Giants. Here we go. Like, and, of course, they're just getting clocked. They lost to Marcus Mariota and the Commanders last week. It was not close. Mm-mm.
They bad. Let's go to Dan on our phone line. Dan, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
You are most welcome, and I will not call you dummies. That's awfully rude. But I will say you're outside your mind. That's all I'm going to say. When you pick a running back at 3, and I'm a huge Oregon Ducks fan, so I've seen a lot of Ducks games, and I think the best pick at 3 is a tight end named Kenyon Sadiq. The guy is a freaking beast. That's all I have for you.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
We're going to learn all these guys all too well.
We're going to learn them.
We're
getting to that point.
Look, We've held off as well as we can. I saw a post from Dane Brugler of The Athletic, who puts together the
Beast,
the huge NFL draft guide every year. And I saw him tweet about Reuben Bain Jr., the edge rusher, the pass rusher out of Miami. And he was talking about teams aren't so sure about him because his arms are short. I'm like, oh, God, it's that season again.
Hand size.
Where I have to care about the length of some dude's arms and hands. I'm just like, oh, God. Oh, God, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. One texter says, then there is no way to pick 3rd if we lose it. I guess that's the guy who called me a dummy. Wes says, that's stupid. I feel like a head-to-head means more than strength of schedule, but hey, I'm not part of this stupid committee. So what?
But you're comparing several teams. You're not just comparing two.
Right.
And even in this, I understand where it gets confusing, but I also think it's right that head-to-head doesn't come into this when you're trying to do the tankathon.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts. Look, it was just a random thought that popped into my head. I am not advocating for the Titans to draft Jeremiah Love with the number 3 pick, but it just came to mind. That's all. 615-737-1025. Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, will join us coming up next. We'll talk Predators and NHL with our friend Elliot Freeman. The NHL's holiday roster freeze is, I believe, tomorrow. So could we see any trades between now and then? We'll ask Elliot that and more coming up next. 615-737-1025. We are presented by Bax Homeworks. Financing options are available to make your remodel easier than you think with Bax Homeworks. Get a free estimate now at BAXHomeworks.com.